Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. My Road Trip from Hell by Mickey. Hello friends, I've been a lurker in the subreddit for a long time, and I figured it was high time I shared some of my spoopy tales. First and foremost, my name is Mickey, it's just spelt a bit different. I'm in my 20s and this story happened when I was still a munchkin, below the age of 12. You'll have to excuse how overly sarcastic this story may seem. It's still scary to talk about, and humor is my defense mechanism. Anyways, when I was still knee-high-ish, my grandmother, who I called Tilly, and I used to go on a yearly road trip, either across our own country or the one next to ours. We lived relatively close to the border. Well, on this particular occasion, we decided to travel across our neighboring country. Let's call my home country A, and the neighboring country B. My grandmother had a friend in the more yee-haw part of country B that she hadn't seen in a minute. And after some planning, they figured out the best time for the two of us to make our trip. I was excited when my grandmother told me about the trip. I had no idea where we were going, but the idea of going on a road trip with Gram-Gram was so damn excited. I could hardly contain myself. Fast forward a few months and we finally hop in the car and head off on our merry way. The trip would take approximately a week. My grandmother wanted to see all the neat stuff along the way, and traveling with a child such as myself required a lot of pit stops. I wasn't necessarily a bad traveling companion, I just had a small bladder. Anyway, we were on the last stretch of our trip when my grandmother had to pull into a gas station to fill up. We were practically running on fumes, and I really had to go to the bathroom. We pulled into the middle of nowhere gas station, and after my grandmother had filled up the car, we hurried inside so I can empty my bladder. The moment we walked inside, all the alarm bells in my tiny brain went off. I had no idea why I was feeling the way I was up until I set eyes on the clerk. I'm not usually one to judge a person by how they present themselves, but old boy, which is what I'll call him from here on out, looked like he walked straight out of a serial killer documentary. Currently, we're smack down in the center of Yeehaw territory, in the middle of nowhere, and this man looks like he should be selling you high-end cars, not working at a rundown gas station. Old boy was giving me all kinds of bad vibes. I really don't know how to explain it other than that. Worse still, he was already smiling a little too wide when he spotted my grandmother. She was petite, blonde, and beautiful. Granted, I'm a bit biased. She is my grandmother. However, when he saw me, you swore he was looking at Sunday dinner. Somehow, his already very wide grin only grew. Remembering it, even to this day, gives me the heebie-jeebies. Thankfully, Gram-Gram could sense a disturbance in the force and shield me from his predator gaze. She paid for the gas and asked for the key to the washroom, which he took his sweet-ass time getting. She walked with me to the bathroom, which was disgusting by the way, and I quickly did my business, and we returned the key with great reluctance. Here's where things get progressively worse. When we were piling back into the car, old boy closed down the shop and got into his car. It doesn't seem too weird, right? Sure, he was super creepy, but he hasn't done anything too odd yet. Now, technically we had 2 days left on the trip. My grandmother would drive in increments. 4 hours on the road, an hour of exploring, filling up, etc. Then we find an inn or a motel and spend the night. We traveled about 8 hours a day before turning in for the night. Well, once we left the gas station, old boy followed us for, I shit you not, the rest of the trip. At first, we just assumed he was heading our general direction. It was just the one road after all. But after the third turn off and old boy was still tailing us, my grandmother finally realized we were being followed. This man proceeded to follow us, and I wish I was joking, for 12 hours. My grandmother refused to stop driving unless it was absolutely imperative. For anyone wondering why she didn't just call for help or why she didn't pull into a police station, don't worry, you're not the only one. To be perfectly fair to my grandmother, she didn't have a phone, and despite somewhat knowing where she was, it was still unknown territory. She wanted to get to a familiar surrounding so there wasn't the risk of getting lost. We finally made to the city where her friend resided, and that's when we pulled into a police station. The mad lad pulled up next to our car just as we were heading inside the building, and he watched us. I don't know what old boy was taking, but he sat there while my grandmother talked to the lovely lady at the desk. Thankfully, the cops handled the creepy man with ease, but I'll never forget the damn smile that never left his face while he was being escorted away. Needless to say, that was the last time we road tripped to Country B, and one of the last times we actually took a road trip in general. My body felt heavier with every step I took through the snow, and as I contemplated turning back, a childish voice whispered in my ear, "Remember, you promised." The weight on my back grew exponentially as my legs buckled from exhaustion, and the last thing I heard was a child's enraged voice screaming, "You promised you would lay me to rest!" My Weirdest Encounter by Internet Additional 52. Hello everyone. I'll post this here with my second account that allows me to stay anonymous, where I just follow religious and spiritual subreddits. Today I want to talk to you about something that happened to me approximately 2 months ago. I live in a little village up the Rocky Mountains in Indiana. My house is particularly isolated, which has led to multiple problems with providing water to my house as well as electricity. This already sets the mood. Also, it can feel creepy at night to have practically no civilization around you, considering that I live completely alone. One night, on a particularly rainy night, someone rang on my bell. It was 9 p.m. and I'd just got away from a party with my friends, so I was particularly exhausted to go downstairs from where I was in my room. However, thinking about it, something creeped me out. Who would ring on my door? A friend who gave me something and I forgot the party? That became a thought I focused on a lot because I didn't leave anything, so why the ring? I decided to check. But I didn't rush to open, to leave the possibility the person would leave. I opened the door and I was met with someone. It was a seemingly nice guy looking 20 to 21, but that I didn't know at all, and please remember this detail. He was blonde with relatively curly hair, drenched by the rain. He had no protection for it, and in the dark. I could see him starting to smile, and his young appearance is what made me think he looked nice. However, his smile seemed nice, but at the same time, somehow dishonest. Anyway, I told good evening, and immediately he said, "How are you, bro?" He even sounded young. I was surprised by this. He could clearly see that I was a little uncomfortable. I asked him why he was here, but he cut me off, knowing that I was about to ask that, and said, "I came here to get my shoe back. I forgot it at your place." And here he smiled even more. I stared at him. He had a cold gaze, but a big smile. How is that possible? After some time of thinking internally about the weird request, I started to think that I understood. To me, it was a joke, so I laughed, uncomfortably, because his joke was making it even more awkward. I recalled myself saying, "Nice one, dude," to sound young like him, but he was genuinely confused and told me that it was supposed to be a serious thing, That, I got creeped out, but I tried to make it not visible on my face. I was above all confused. I was so confused. Like, I didn't know that guy, and I'm absolutely sure I don't know him, 100%, and never been to my place. So how come he lost his shoe? Then I noticed something I had not noticed yet because of having focused eye contact, because of the darkness surrounding everything as well. I looked at his feet. Indeed, he lacked a shoe, and all this while we were under the rain. If this was a joke, I'm not sure why he goes so far for comic purpose. So, I really started to ask him to get off of my property, because, serious or not, he was making me uncomfortable. I seriously hesitate to speak up because this guy was creepy, but he insisted that he needed it. Also, he seemed to be amused by my reaction, which makes me even more creeped out. Not amused because I overreacted in his eyes, but because he was feeding on my fear. Maybe this was his whole purpose of coming here. I just stopped thinking and made it clear for him it was time for him to go. He insisted, so rather than making it a physical confrontation to make him move far from our front door, I just went back to my house and closed the main door behind me. Just when I did that, he tried to put his hand in between it. That was creepy. At that point, I just closed it completely and stared at him from a window near the door he was close to. Really close. I was afraid he'd break the window at that point, but no. He just waited, smirked, looking at me. Without interruption, this went on for maybe a minute, and at that point, I think he understood the assignment that I was sending him with my eyes. He started going away. Immediately, I tried to call a friend on WhatsApp to inform him and be sure that I was not crazy, but the Wi-Fi was having some issues because of the heavy rain. I decided not to call tonight because that'd make a shitty call, plus he might be sleeping at that time. What I decided to do was put some App Store music on and relax in my guest room because that's where I always go when I feel stressed or creeped out. Turns out that a shoe, exactly like the other one that guy had on, was there, on the bed. I could not breathe. I was so creeped out. I wanted to call 911, but I didn't know what I'd tell them. So what I did is, just out of fear, I blocked every usable way into my house with heavy, big things like tables, chairs, etc. I went to get some sleep, which didn't work out well for me. I'm extremely creeped out writing this. This is a story that has happened to me for real and remains the scariest moment in my entire life. Until today, there was no updates on who this person possibly was. I've talked about it to my friends and family, heck, even coworkers that I just had lunch with. Some have called me crazy, but surprisingly, my brother and a friend trust me and were very interested. One of my friends told me, unlike my brother, that it'd be useless to go to the cops on this, didn't explain to me the reason, but told me his hypothesis. Maybe I knew this guy, but didn't remember because I was drunk. However, it's absolutely impossible for me to have been drunk since not only do I not drink alcohol, I drink special types of non-alcoholic beverages that my friends like to get for me for their parties. But I also have a rare condition that makes it difficult for me to even drink it in any quantities without there being consequences on my health. So, this cannot be. My brother said that maybe I didn't close the door correctly before going to the party, but I recall myself pretty clearly doing it, and there's no other ways to enter the house than this door. Well, there are windows, but none of them are broken, and there's a door that is blocked completely and cannot be used. It's a very old door that I should maybe get rid of, and the ancient landowner gave me as an inheritance. If you guys have any hypotheses, please submit in the comments. I hope that you like this story. I really need to get it off my chest. I've been feeling like crazy for the last 2 months. I'm wondering about talking about it to a psychologist since I should have moved on from now, but I haven't. Again, thank you for listening. The mother cried as the officers took her newly born from her arms.
"New laws," one of them said solemnly. "His reincarnation needs to serve a second life sentence."
A Drive to Work I Won't Forget by Anonymous. I don't know if this will gain any traction, but it's been on my mind ever since it happened. I'm a respiratory therapist that works at a local hospital. I was on my way to work, about less than a mile away from my occupation, when the car in front of me quickly merged into one of those emergency lanes as if something had just happened. Then he just sat there. No hazards going off, nothing to indicate he planned on moving. I still had 20 minutes before I had to be at work. Assuming this individual may be in distress or having car problems, I decided to be a good Samaritan. I parked on the shoulder of the road and turned on my hazards. We exchanged eye contact and I gestured a wave, rolling down my window and asked, "Are you okay?" He seemed to have either not heard me or ignored me, but he did seem to realize I wanted to help him. He got out of his car at this point. Keep in mind, we are on an extremely busy road. I'm in on my work scrub, which tends to help people relax knowing they're with a healthcare professional. However, this was different. When he got out of his vehicle, I assumed he told me he was in some type of pain or something that caused him to pull over abruptly. He had been driving fine the entire time I was behind him. So I casually got out of my vehicle and walked over to the back end of his car. This is when I officially start a conversation, asking if he's hurt, is anything wrong, all of the basics. But the thing is, his eyes were cold. He had this body language to him that almost made him seem a little unhinged / skittish. He had not answered any of my questions, so I tried once more asking, "Hey, man, we are in the middle of a busy road. Is there something wrong with your car or something going on with you?" He simply replied, "No." I started to feel a sensation of discomfort, like he wanted to do something to me but was resisting himself. So I continued to play it off. He didn't seem drunk or high, but he had these black, beady eyes that I couldn't stop looking at. It was as if he was just a vessel to something dark. I tried to continue the conversation. "Why did you stop, man? You don't want to get hit out here." He replied, "I don't know. I don't know where to go." I didn't know what he meant by this, so I questioned further by saying, "Do you know what city you're in right now? If you're lost, I can tell you where the nearest highway is," which was also less than a mile away. His reply was a little chilling, "Anywhere but here." I was now confused. He didn't know where he was, but he felt this urge to get out of the area as quick as possible. So I asked, "Well, what direction do you want to go? 75 North will take you to Dayton. You take 75 South heading to Cincinnati." He asked me, "What would you do in my position?" Now, I have no idea what he meant by this. I simply said, "I don't know what kind of position you're in, man. Can you drive? The hospital I work for is within view and we don't have to go in. I just want to make sure you don't get hit." He agreed to follow me, but once I turned on my blinker to turn to the hospital, he completely stopped following me, pulled a U-turn, and sped off. I know this isn't the creepiest thing in the world, but you really have to try to understand just how foreign and strange this behavior was. Each time we engaged in conversation, it was as if he was contemplating to tell me something, but ultimately remained silent. From the looks of it, he drove a red Toyota, approximately a RAV4 hybrid, maybe. So, I mean, he didn't have a broken down car or look like he was a substance abuser. He just seemed incredibly nervous, and his fast motion gestures and twitching all over his body language has left me puzzled and still gives me shudders when I think about how he moved or talked or his lack of responses or even the decline for any help. and not explaining a single reason as to why he just decided to park on the side of the road. A simple, "Oh, I got lost," would have been enough for me to feel better about the entire situation. He just seemed incredibly paranoid and hesitant. On top of it all, the entire conversation led nowhere to his situation or why he was acting so strange. Just wanted to make sure he didn't need help or get hit by a car. Anyways, I'll update you guys if I hear anything about a patient coming in later. He also had a face that is burned into my memory. I just got this gut feeling to leave, but to be as polite as possible. Anyone have any thoughts on this? They also sent me something, so let me read that real quick. Everything I described on that post is 100% accurate to the encounter, emphasizing on his eyes. The eyes were the scariest part. Like, the lights were on, but no one was home. The piercing black, beady eyes churned my stomach because I felt nothing but chills as I maintained eye contact, feeling his negative intentions. Feeling the notion and urge to get back into my vehicle had never felt so strong. I had to continue trying to pretend I was not terrified of the man, hold a stern position and not looking away from his eyes to let him know I wasn't going to submit to his body language. It seemed to have worked as I managed to convince him with my kindness to continue the conversation around the hospital. I'd be lying if I said I never felt so much relief with him turning around and leaving the scene. But I'll never forget how he looked. Ever. In short, be extremely careful with helping anyone who may pull off to the side of the road. Because the only thing I felt from that man was nothing but ill intentions on my well-being. I once read somewhere that if you kill someone, bury them 3 feet beneath a dead animal so the police dogs can't find them. You've been with me for many years now. I'm sorry, Max, but I don't intend to get caught. Creep Weighed for Me After Work by Zoe Moreau. I was 18 and have been working for a large department store in the UK for just over a year now. The story happened when I was 16. It was late one evening around 9 p.m. or so, and we stayed open late for the Christmas rush. I was walking across the store floor when a man brushed very close to me. I'm often in my own world at work, and this made me jump a little. He must have noticed this because he said hello, and I responded and he asked me how I was, and I said good, and you? He nodded and walked towards the door into the car park. I didn't think much of this at all, but it did catch me off guard. I decided to walk across to the other side of the shop. Bear in mind, this floor plan is massive, and continue tidying rails there. I hear a man shout from a few meters away, and I look up to see the same guy again. It's only now that I really look and notice his appearance. He had a large tattoo of a dagger on his right cheekbone, and was wearing a black jumper with a hood pulled up. He's about a foot taller than me and clearly much older. I asked him if he needed any help, and he gestured for me to come closer to him. I tend to freeze and follow instructions in these situations, which is not exactly the best survival instinct. I naively thought he just wanted to know which exit he needed. He asked me what my name was, and I told him.
"You have such pretty eyes," he said, and at this point, I was getting a bit freaked out.
I thanked him hastily and turned to leave and put a hand on my forearm. Again, I kind of just froze.
"Have you got a boyfriend? Have you got a Snapchat? Can I get your number?"
He became more and more persistent, and I just wanted to leave. I told him that number one, I was working, and number two, I'm underage. He then asked me how old I was, and I told him I was 16. Again, I don't know why I answered him, but my brain just shut down. To which he responded,
"It could work."
At this point, I was really shaken up and didn't know what to do. Thankfully, one of my male colleagues walked up to me and asked me a question, making him leave, winking at me as he did so. Noticing my distress, he asked me what had happened, and I explained the situation. He urged me to report it, but I was hesitant as I didn't want to inconvenience anyone or get them into trouble. However, there are a lot of teenage girls that work in this shop, and I wouldn't want them to be a target, so I told one of the managers. They notified the store security and sent me off the shop floor to get some coffee and calm down. I came back, finished my shift, and went to leave. The security guy stopped me on my way out and told me that he didn't mean to alarm me, but they had managed to track the man's car and he was parked inside it. They said there was a high probability he was waiting for me and I shouldn't go out there by myself, just as a precaution. He escorted me to my mom's car and we drove home. I'm so thankful nothing ended up happening that night. I often think about what would have happened if my friend didn't persuade me to report it and I went out alone. My heart sank when I read the text, "They are coming," followed by my info. I quickly awoke my captor lying next to me, letting him know we'd have to prepare for our final stand against the police. Chased by a Naked Man in the Forest, by Fred Bells. Hey y'all, this took place in the summer 2022. I just never thought of writing down this story because I was so stunned that it happened to me. So every summer in my city, me and my friends like to make small campfires in chill, secluded areas because we don't want to drive an hour to an actual campsite and pay any campsite fees to do so. These are also pretty spontaneously, so it's a nice last-minute hang to do. There's this one spot near my house that's located by a river that's really nice because no one usually goes there. The only thing to be worried about are bears though, because living in the Pacific Northwest is challenging like that, and my house specifically is located right next to mountains and forest. So one particular night at 11 p.m. I decided to go ahead of my friends and meet them at the spot and set things up early because I want us to be chilling once they all get there. The spot I get to has a 2-minute paved walkway I have to go through, and then I have to take a small trail wrapping down the right side of the bridge that crosses over the river. Along this paved walkway is 2 lamps located halfway and another one at the start of the bridge slash the ramp down to the campfire spot. I parked my car at the beginning of the trail in the street, bringing my campfire stuff like flashlight, lighter, small firewood, and a small shovel to dig out a pit, etc. I get to the spot and it's a small sandy beach kind of embankment on the side of the river with a small wandering area for toddlers and their families during the hot summers. So I set the chair and get to digging the pit with only my flashlight illuminating where I'm digging. I'm also just shoveling the sand right next to me, nowhere near the water, but all of a sudden I hear a loud splash. A splash so loud that it can only come from something equally large, like a 2-hand-sized rock. I'm confused because I swear I'm not throwing my sand into the water, even though I'm only a few feet away. I shine my flashlight at the water and I don't see anything, so I kind of just brush it off, thinking I'm just hearing things. But I keep shoveling a bit more, I hear another loud splash. At this point, I think something is falling from above because basically something must be falling into the water. I point my flashlight above where some trees are above the river, and I don't see anything big enough to make the splash. So I keep digging with my heart rate kinda going at this point. I hear a rustling past the arch where the bridge goes over the river. I quickly grab my light and shine it towards where I heard the rustling. I call out, "Hello?" No response. In my head, if it was a bear, I should be getting out of there immediately. But there was no bear, or signs of anything for that matter. So I tell myself I'm just hearing things now because I've seen horror movies before, and now my mind is playing tricks on me. But I hear the noise again, and it clearly sounds like leaves being rustled, so I shine my flashlight over to the area again.
and as I focus my eyes towards the illuminated area, I see the naked back of a man hunched over. I was kind of frozen in anxiety and stress because honestly, of all the things I was to see, I didn't think I'd see the naked back of a man. From the quick analyzing my brain could muster up, he looked to be about mid-40s, shaved but not bald, and a medium-ish build, like a mix between chubby and built. As I had my flashlight staying on his back, he started to stand up, and the first thing I noticed was that he wasn't wearing any pants either. My next reflex was to start packing all my crap up and getting the hell out of there because I'm pacing in my head they must have been throwing things into the water to scare or shoo me away. So after using my reflective deductive skills, I proceeded to speed walk out of there with all my stuff. I'm carrying all my things with me and briskly walking up the small ramp, and I'm on the paved path now out of the forest. I can feel my heart beating in my chest, and I'm frequently looking back to make sure I'm not being followed. I'm in Crocs, mind you, so I'm hoping that if I have to book it out of there, I'd regret not having in sports mode from the get-go. I make it to the halfway point, and a sense of relief starts settling in, knowing I made it safely out of a very scary situation. But as I check behind me for the final time, I see something. Slowly creeping over the ramp is the naked man crawling on all fours as if he was a primate walking. His head was positioned towards me, looking at me as he made his way to the middle of the paved walkway. He slowly gets up from the stance and starts standing on his feet and positions his body to face me. After setting himself into his new position, the man starts running towards me. I freaking book it. I run as hard as I can down the path. My flashlight jumps out of my pocket and I lose it, but I didn't care because a whole naked ass man was chasing me at 11 p.m. at night in a secluded forest. I looked back for a split second and the man was still running towards me, still completely naked. He could have had my flashlight for all I cared. I wanted to make it out of the situation alive. I finally make it out of the forest and I run to my car, which is only 30 feet away from the end of the forest. I desperately get to my car, and like a classic horror movie, I fumble with trying to get my key fob to unlock my car. I actually drop my keys and quickly think to myself, I'm actually dead. But I brush the thought off and pick them back up, and get the fob promptly and unlock my door and throw my things into the back seat before getting into my car. This felt like an eternity, but in hindsight, most likely was 6 seconds altogether. As I tried to guide my key into the ignition, I'm fixated on the edge of the paved path that I was just on a few seconds ago, waiting to see if the naked man was coming still. I feel my key go into the ignition, and I switch my sights onto the road in front of me, and I zoom out of the area as fast as possible. As I drive away, I'm a good 30 seconds from the location of the horror that just took place. I get a call on my phone. It was my friends calling to ask if I made the spot yet, and all I say to them is, "Guys, do I have a crazy story for you?" They pull up to my house because, again, it's actually decently close to the campfire area, and I tell them the whole story the way that I told it just now. They swear it was none of them trying to prank me or anything like that. But I also know none of them would try a full sprint at me with their dong out. But as we're talking out in front of my house, there's a college student who looks like he's walking home that's going towards the direction where I encountered the naked man. I just yelled out to him, "Yo, be careful. There was a naked guy that was chasing me by the bridge that crosses over the river." He responds saying, "Oh, damn, really? I go over the bridge to get home." All I tell him is, "Good luck, man." The next day, I reported to the police by phone, but they sent over an officer so I could tell them in person and show them where in the area I saw these things. When we went to see where I initially saw the man's back hunched over, they said they didn't see any trace of anyone being there previously, but the officer said they would make note of it anyways in case it happened again. Some friends say it's a skinwalker. Others say, more realistically, it's either a homeless, mentally ill, or drunk/high person. One theory I've heard my friends say is that it's a future version of me pulling a prank on past version of me because honestly, if, when, time travel is real, I would totally screw my younger self like that. Sorry, that is the only crazy Let's Not Meet story I have, but damn, is it a story I will never forget. Edit, I realized I said I had a chair with me, but now I remember I didn't have one with me at this time. Usually I do have a camping chair, but since I was by myself, it was quite a lot for me to bring by myself. I know you brought it for me, but I can't use someone else's locked phone, I said to my cat after taking the phone from her mouth. The next day, I found my cat on my table waiting for me with several severed fingers in her mouth. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. First, I'd like to welcome all the new people that have just discovered the channel. Welcome to 242 Reads, guys. And of course, I would like to thank the writers who let me read their stories this evening. Without them, I wouldn't have a story to tell you. This was a vast majority of different ways you find creepy people in public who somehow stalk you in some ways. I feel bad for the teenager who had that creep at work. It's not like you can just walk away from customers. But I'm happy that their coworker caught on and helped them, and that security helped her get out of the building as well and safely to her mom's car. And to be on a road trip with your grandma, on a trip that was supposed to be fun and exciting in a country you're not used to, and then your grandma, before GPS was a thing, had to go find a police station. I completely get why she waited so long to find a police station. She didn't know where else to go before that, and she did the right thing. The Good Samaritan, who tried to help a gentleman who randomly pulled over on a very busy highway to want to help him, something wasn't right with him, and I'm happy he just drove away and you didn't have to deal with him further. And I have seen this firsthand. Dogs' instincts are very good. If your dog doesn't like someone, you better not like someone. My dog is just like the one in that one story. Very friendly, everyone's her best friend, but I have seen her react badly 3 times in her whole life. 2 to weird people, and once due to her thinking there was an invasion in our house, which turned out to just her not recognizing someone right away. If your dog is ever acting weird in any situation, always pay attention. They can hear things we can't, smell things we can't, and even though they don't have the full color vision we have, their eyesight is still very good. And then we have the story that's basically a horror movie in real life. I grew up around thick forests all around the house I lived in growing up. And I couldn't imagine finding someone naked in those woods or somewhere you feel safe. And then all of a sudden, you're not anymore. You did the right thing. You got out of there. You moved as fast as you could. And I hope the gentleman who was going across that bridge after you was okay. I know I say this a lot in these stories, the stalker / let's not meet creepy encounters, but it's true and I find it important to remind you guys. If you feel something's off, get out of there. Be weird, draw attention to yourself, do whatever you can to get yourself out of that situation. Because once you get in a car or disappear, it's harder to get free of something. And I truly want all of you to be safe out there. Now, if you're on YouTube, please hit that like button and make sure it feels it. If you're new, subscribe and turn that pretty little bell to all notifications. And of course, I would always love a comment. Tell me what you like, what kind of stories you like in the future, or which one of these stories was your favorite. If you're listening on the podcast and the platform allows it, please leave a review. And if you're on Spotify, I have questions that you can answer if you like as well. And if you'd like to help this channel / podcast grow, please share it with anyone who might enjoy it. It really helps quite a bit. And if you'd like to get early access and a few other bonuses, I do have Patreon and memberships as well. And if you'd like to do a one-time donation, I have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee.
All the links, including the ones to my socials, my website, and everything else, are in the description / show notes for you guys. But as always, guys, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.